Welcome, everyone. This is Sasha, sashatalks.com. Today, we have a wonderful guest, a naturopathic doctor, joining us. Meet Dr. Mark Sherbin, known internationally as a recognized pioneer in functional medicine, biohacking, and longevity. Through his work, he's transforming lives and inspiring millions through revolutionary approaches which have influenced millions globally, empowering people to take charge of their wellness and redefine aging. He works alongside his wife, Dr. Michelle Sherbin, both delivering insights to people on disease prevention and reversal. We'll learn more about his track record that celebrates not only the patients overcoming chronic conditions, but also thriving with enhanced performance and extended health spans. As he and his wife are trusted voices of health, they're also visionaries in wellness. Their professional collaborations are available through television, books, movies, and public speaking. Learn more about their work by visiting Functional Medicine Institute. Dr. Mark, welcome to Sasha Talk.
Hey, thank you for having me. I've been looking forward to this. I appreciate it.
You are a naturopathic doctor. What are some of the qualifications and training that goes into becoming one?
In general, it's a philosophical type of training standpoint that's different from conventional allopathic medicine. Although we are trained in the allopathic medicine principles, which are simply put, here's your symptoms, here's what we do regarding medications, and I'm not anti-medication, but here's what we do medication-wise to mitigate or manage these symptoms or manage these diseases. Whereas the naturopath philosophy tends to look upstream. We know we've got these symptoms, no denying that. We know we have medications as an option, no denying that as well. However, if we go back upstream, you understand what's causing the symptoms from what's dysfunctional upstream. Therefore, the target becomes what's fixing, what's correctable upstream with your functionality to make the symptoms go away and make medication unnecessary.
Is that how you would define functional medicine?
It's interesting. Good question. I think functional medicine is probably slightly different. There's two sort of directional concepts of functional medicine in my wife and I's opinion. Number one is functional medicine is not just looking at symptoms to provide medication, but it's also looking at systems biology, running unique tests to understand areas of dysfunction. And then instead of targeting prescriptions of medications, you target prescriptions sort of supplementation. Now, the other angle is probably where my wife and I lie. We are heavily trained in functional medicine, thing I just described and defined. However, I like to look even further upstream than that. I want to know why we're having the dysfunction and how we can prevent the symptoms that we may have that would force us into even a functional medicine or allopathic medicine concept. Now, that's hard to test. I mean, how do you test and how do you quantify prevention? It's more experience with not being, sick or not being in pain, et cetera, being able to do what you want, when you want, how you want. So, and we put all those things into, kind of our own concepts and protocols, and we try to generate, a preventive concept.
How were you initially introduced to your career path? Was it a certain lifestyle that you were gravitating to, or certain activities that led you down this road?
Yeah, I was a police officer before I became a naturopathic doctor. And in my latter years of police work, having 24 years of experience and 10 years on the SWAT team, I had been through a lot. So I was transferred to the police academy, where one of my multiple assignments was to develop a wellness program. And I started looking at the life expectancy for police officers that retired. And I found that the life expectancy wasn't very long, many times mid-60s at best. And so that really broke my heart. And I really wanted to do something about it. I saw police officers struggling with, the stressors of life and being on a bunch of medication. The more I studied and the more I developed that wellness program, and it was a very successful wellness program because I do believe wellness is officer safety. But the more I studied that, the more I realized that there's more out here and maybe I can take, and I really felt called to do this quite transparently. Really thought I would take the protection and service mode, expand it more to, well, anybody that I could work with, sort of protect them from perhaps what they didn't know and sometimes from themselves and serve them to the best of my heart and knowledge so that they could have great lives.
You and your wife, Dr. Michelle Sherbin, you are the founders of the Functional Medical Institute. What are the type of patients and clients that you attract globally?
Probably there's two areas I would say that most of our clientele come from. The greatest come from the people that are probably 35 to probably 60 or 65. And as I've got into my 60s, I can't even believe I'm saying that, but they're looking for ways to optimize their health, to perhaps, decrease potential sick span and increase potential life. In our world, longevity for us is just being able to do what you want, when you want, how you want, not hurt, and do it for longer periods of time in life. That would be one group, probably the majority, I would say, 80% plus. And we have a small group that's the high level, achiever, athlete, biohacker concept that just are absolutely want to maximize all aspects of performance. I'm not talking about just athletic performance or prowess. I'm talking about all aspects of life.
Your practice has a global reach and you help people in person through telehealth. Do you also work with people over the phone? Because I have met medical practitioners where they feel the need to see the patient or the prospective client on video or in person before making any suggestions.
No, we see them on the phone. Whatever modality of communication works best. I mean, there's people. I mean, let's be honest. They may be having a bad hair day, and they don't want me to see them, and they don't want my wife to see them. I understand that. It's okay. No, we have a very complete process in the initiation. We have a good amount of introductory paperwork, and we ask a lot of questions. And I think the people that probably understand why they get so much benefit from, our style is we listen a lot. And I think the greatest healing can occur when you understand how to listen first and talk later.
Speaking of listening, one of the aspects of healing or making any positive life change has to do with mindset. How often do you come across people who struggle more with the mindset aspect than actually implementing the type of holistic healing you offer?
That's probably the majority of people today, because like there's so much information out here that it's so daunting. I mean, we live in an information age, with social media, there's podcasts around every corner, and everybody's selling something, some philosophy, some product, something. And people struggle with why things didn't work, and they've tried this or tried that. They have kind of a defeatist mindset, and I'm not knocking anybody. I mean, that's easy to fall into that. Speaking of yours truly, I could fall into that in one moment, but they don't believe that they can get and stay well because no one's helped them cast a vision of what perpetual disease prevention looks like. And for example, I'll ask people a question or questions when I'm first talking to them, and I don't want to go down what is wrong with them first. I want to go down as much as I can what's right with them. What about their kids, their life, their husband, wife, their house, their dog? What do they like to do? What's going well with them? And I'm not ignoring what's wrong, but we've got to paint a picture that all's not doom and gloom all the time. Because when you're in a relationship with someone, talking about listening and understanding, give and take, if you spend all the time talking about what's wrong, well, you're going to find it. And that destroys your mindset because then you don't know what is right and you don't even know how to get out of the hole you're in. So a lot of people, frankly, are in a state of despair or anxiousness or even hopelessness. And we have to. As clinicians, if we're going to heal people and walk on the pathway of true healing, we have to understand that the mindset part is key, and it's probably the front of the line.
When you start working with people and you have a very high success rate, under what conditions do you ever find yourself where you might have to divorce working with an individual?
Well, with us, this may sound a little bit odd, but it is true. I am surprised when people don't get better. I have full expectation that every single person we work with is going to get better. And I really see it all the time. It is not unusual for us to see people that have been told they're type 2 diabetic to see it reverse. People that are told they're osteoporotic to see that resolved. People that are told they have autoimmune conditions, looking at their antibodies through various blood tests, various antibodies, see those antibodies go down. See medications they use go down. Hypertensive, they get off blood pressure medications, depressed, ADD, ADHD, all of that. We see them get better. And so I'm kind of surprised when we don't see improvement. And so we set that tone, and that creates the next expectation, and that expectation is good. It's good for us, it's good for them.
On your website, fmidr.com, there are many wonderful articles that I was able to consume that talks about different parts of the physical anatomy, taking care of wellness, nutrition. And I was wondering, out of all organs, what part of the body do we humans abuse the most?
If we go down to the proper physiology to understand the aging process, I would go right down to the little organelle called the mitochondria. And probably I'm getting more sciencey than most people would believe, but I really think that's where the aging process begins. And I think that's where the life-giving process begins. When the mitochondria is forced to run on nothing more than a perpetual bombardment of glucose, not allowing the system to properly create ATP, which is what the mitochondria does. And ATP is cellular energy. That mitochondria does not work properly. And over the course of time, that yields, first of all, intermitochondrial inflammation, yielding intracellular inflammation, yielding chronic systemic inflammation in the body, which is a part and parcel of every disease process. So I think people's main abuse points is probably therefore in the standard American Western diet.
In your work, you also talk about helping people overcome, override self-imposed challenges. Can you share a relatable example of a self-imposed challenge?
Yeah, definitely. I'll give you a couple of examples recently. And again, people need to know, I don't know what questions are coming, so I just answer the questions that I'm given most of the time. So two examples. One person comes in, he's got a lot of blood pressure issues, on blood pressure medication, on some blood sugar medications as well, and probably 30 pounds overweight. It's a male, and he's in his early 60s, and he is questioning everything we do. Is this going to work? Has tried everything. And after 2 months, I see him in the lobby one day, and he's holding on to his body composition analysis, which we test when people work with us, in our brick and mortar facility. He is down, get this, 8% body fat, has lost a massive amount of fat weight, has maintained all of his muscle weight. He is off his hypertensive or blood pressure medication. He is off his blood sugar medication. All of his labs have completely resulted in optimal positions, which again, his comment to me was, I guess I'm probably doing okay, aren't I? And I'm like, well, yeah, that's exactly great. Yes. The other one is really, really shocking, actually. It shocked me because the lady with a referral was diagnosed with terminal kidney cancer, stage 4, metastasized. She was not going to go through the standard treatment, chemo, radiation, et cetera. She made that decision. She reached out and asked the question, will you support us? Will you support me in that? Yeah, we will. We'll love them either way. Here's the deal. We will. And so we did the best we could do, worked on nutrition, mindset, sleep, exercise, de-stressing. We did a genetic analysis. We really looked at peptides, hormones, supplementation, molecular hydrogen, all kinds of modalities. And we actually started a process on her. And I'm going to say probably 8 months into it, she's very compliant. I mean, she went all in, and probably 8 months into it, she sends me this email, and this has been probably 2 months ago. And she said, "Hi, Dr. Mark." He said, "I just want to let you know I just visited my oncologist, and they did a couple scans, and they couldn't find anything." And of course, that stunned me because we're talking 8 months now, right?
Right.
And so I returned the email quickly, and I said, "Now, first, because I wanted to understand what scans were ran, et cetera. They ran the normal MRI or imaging, and they ran the normal PETs to look for masses or connections of metastasis anywhere. And they was gone. And I said, well, what's the next step? And she said, well, they want to come back, want me to come back in 3 months and do it again. And if all's gone, they don't need to see me but annually. And I tell you, that one got me because I really got tears in my eyes because this lady went from hopeless to hopeful. And it didn't start with the test results that we got. It started with the first conversation we had. We listened to her and we respected her and we honored her wishes. And I think that's what doctors should do, quite frankly. They should honor the client's wishes and go with them where they want to go and love them where they are and help them where you can. My job is not to make anybody do anything. My job is to love them where they are and support them in everything. And I think by doing that, giving them people truly what I would believe is informed consent, everything I know about everything. And I don't claim to know everything, man. The more I know, the more I realize I don't know, which keeps me honest and keeps me studying. But those two cases just came to my mind immediately.
Well, that just exemplifies having a process leads to progress, and you have discovered what works for you to help people.
I would agree with that. And again, my wife and I, we have a belief system, and it may differ from others. And again, we're not anti-medicine or anything like that. I want people to know that. We really guard against that. We might get labeled that way, but we're really not. We'll use it if we have to. I think we've got a world with a lot of smart people, a lot of smart people more intelligent than I. But I believe that both of us, my wife and I, we don't like human suffering. I don't like it. I don't like to see someone suffer. I know we all have to die. I understand that. But who said the death process has to be so long and so painful? And we aim to, as best we can, one person at a time, maybe change the belief structure, change the mindset, as you mentioned earlier, and give people options that probably work, the majority of the time.
As a former police officer, is there any lesson that you learned that resonates with you to this day that gets channeled through your work? Not only in helping people improve their wellness and health, but it could be any life wisdom.
Yes, I've seen all kinds of stuff in my day that people ought not to see, and I can't get those images out of my mind. But one thing I realized probably, I don't know, maybe 8 to 10 years into my police career, I realized that I was one decision away from being exactly where people I was arresting were. It's those decisions we make every day that start a cascade of other decisions. So, a bad pathway leads to a bad pathway, leads to a bad pathway, and a good pathway leads to a good pathway. All people, all of it, and this may be oversimplified, but this is what I learned. All people are either one moment away, one breath away from being a blessing or being an idiot. And I learned at that moment in time, I'm just going to treat people right and do my part and try to, as best I can. I'm not proclaiming holier than thou. That's not the point. But in every encounter I had, including right now, I want to leave the situation better than I found it. Leave someone's mindset in a place that challenges them, where they make decisions to make their hopefulness increase a little bit. Maybe give them a little bit of concepts that they can get out of their own situation and maybe move in a positive direction forward.
One of the things that captured my attention was at least two of the products that are offered through your website, the Kingdom Feel and Kingdom Crunch. And immediately it made me wonder, does he integrate kingdom principles in his day-to-day work? Because that's something that resonates with me in my lifestyle.
Yes, we do. Again, I'm always respectful of everybody's belief system in ours. We are Christian people, and we do believe that there is a kingdom beyond planet Earth. We believe that's heaven, and we believe that's a destiny. And there is a different set of rules, a different set of belief systems, different set of order, if you will. And we understand that that order is maybe a kingdom order. And a kingdom order in that case, in this concept, is different than the world. It doesn't fit. In other words, the standard American diet, as an example, which is encouraging people through indoctrination and manipulation and subsidization of consuming things that bring death, bring inflammation, and hurt us as human beings, and actually bring about disease processes. But yet, in the kingdom, you honor the temple. You treat it right. You don't bring into it, as best you know how, something that destroys it. You take care of it. It is a gift. Man, life's a gift. And so we created those kingdom line products to give people food that, no kidding, are great for the body. They're awesome for the body. They bring about life instead of bringing about death. So Kingdom Fuel is a whole meal in a powder form. You can mix it up and whatever, And for as little as $3 a serving, and maybe up to $5, depending on how much you take, $5, that's cheap for a meal today. When especially the average lunch today is in the Midwest is $14 or $15 up to $19. Kingdom Crunch is, without question, I believe this with all my heart, it's the best cereal created in the world. It is high protein, high excellent fats in the form of medium chain triglycerides. It does have some vegetables in it, such as, and plants such as kale and turmeric, and it has no sugars, zero. And when I look at that, I'm thinking, man, those two things should be in everybody's cupboard. What a great breakfast people could have, going to school, mom's in a hurry, trying to get the kids out the door quickly. Again, great opportunities for everyone.
Your work also highlights different forms of healing, the brain reset, a liver detox. And when I was looking at the 10-day brain reset, a lot of people overlook the significance of the brain and how the right nutrition needs to be absorbed for it to function out of the brain and the liver. Both are important. Which one needs more of a detox and a reset in today's age?
I think honestly it would go with the brain because the brain is connected to the gut. And the gut-brain axis or gut-brain intersection is so important. There are five times more signals sent from the gut to the brain than the brain to the gut. So they're communicating back and forth. Some people call the gut the second brain. And so with that said, I think the brain is probably most important because you look at mood, You look at behaviors that tie to mood, tie to the mind, tie to the brain, neurochemicals such as serotonin and dopamine. If you don't have good gut function, you're not going to produce those things. And let's think about dopamine for a minute. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter that makes you feel, satisfied, achievable. You did something great. It's awesome. You had a great radio interview. Good job, Sasha. That kind of thing, right? Whereas serotonin also something makes you feel content or happy. But if you have poor gut function because of poor intake, because a lot of toxins and a lot of chemicals, you can't produce that. And guess what? The body becomes low in production of serotonin and especially dopamine in this example I'm giving. And then it wants it. It wants to be happy. Your brain wants to produce dopamine so that you can experience joy of achievement. Guess what drives dopamine? Nothing more than sugar that's found in processed food. It drives dopamine far superior to the drug cocaine. And it's found everywhere. It's ubiquitous in our society. And that's why, in part, when we're down and depressed, we gravitate to those comfort foods. And by the way, some of the breads and even dairy comfort foods that are processed today produce these morphine-like substances that bind to our opioid receptors. Therefore, when you have processed food with each of those ingredients in them, it's like consuming heroin and cocaine at once, which is why it's so addicting. And so we live in a world where these addictive components, addictive drugs are everywhere. They're served free at restaurants as enticements. And we, as Americans, in my country, we are the worst at not understanding the pitfalls of that.
With the detoxes, it touches upon excluding certain types of oils, sugars, including alcohol. So, as a naturopathic doctor, what are your thoughts on people who consume wine in the name of health?
It depends on, there's a lot of benefits, I would say, association-wise with the Mediterranean lifestyle, which does have, as part of its pattern, having a glass of wine with meals. And I've looked at this from a lot of different angles. There are people, some population groups, that have higher addictive components potential with this alcohol. So they're more potentially susceptible to addiction. Okay, got to know that, first of all. Secondarily, with wine, it does raise blood sugar to the form of sugar alcohol. So if you're like highly diabetic and you have more wine, that's going to make things worse. But if you're drinking some consumption, maybe a 6, 8 ounce glasses of wine that is organic, and don't go really above that, and you have other things being equal around that, such as most Mediterranean lifestyle persons do, which, by the way, don't live in America, you're probably going to be, generally speaking, okay. My wife and I, and people are wonder this, do we have a glass of wine? We do occasionally. I mean, I would say Friday and Saturday night, we probably have a glass of wine apiece. We try to get our best wine, we try to do our best decision. Now, we don't eat poorly, even with that. And so we find that the ability to relax a little bit, perhaps more in a laid-back setting, perhaps slowing down to eat, spend time, more like the Mediterranean lifestyle is. Remember, in the Mediterranean area, you're talking about people that take maybe an hour to eat dinner time, right? And so in America, you're talking about people who take 15 minutes. This is a different deal. And so I think, generally speaking, that all things being equal, we don't need to shy away from wine just because it's wine.
And as a public speaker hosting a global presence, is there a country you admire that's doing a better job than the United States?
Yeah, I think probably Japan would be on the top of my list. I think they probably seem to get it. They have the largest per capita, last I checked, the highest life expectancy. So there's something to that. But having said that, I want to be cautious with that answer. I don't disparage the United States. That's not the point. I think we have the potential here to have everything, anything in abundance. Anyone has this greatest opportunity ever, which is the American dream, still alive. But I just think the results we're having pale in comparison to some of the Asian countries, which seem to do a little bit better than us with disease, statistics and even longevity statistics.
And finally, Dr. Mark, do you have any latest projects coming up that the audience should keep an eye out on?
Yeah, we actually do. There is probably two things I'll keep people in mind. Watch out for our newest book. I don't know when it's going to be officially released and the PR team's going to get on it, but it's called Authentic Longevity. And honest to goodness, we poured everything we knew into the book, like maybe a legacy book. And so this will be edition one. And then as we learn more, we'll make it edition two. But it's called Authentic Longevity. It touches on every single thing we talked about today and more in great, great detail. Secondly, we also have a brand new movie that is going to be released November the 4th worldwide. We filmed it last year. It's called Wealthy Soul, and it is an outstanding project. It's a drama. It's got some suspense in it. It's got some tears. It's got some laugh, and it's got some inspiration under the backdrop of the homeless crisis. So it's a story of a guy who had a story. I won't spoil the punchline, but it's coming. And then next year, in 2026, look for the release of our movie we just finished filming called Forgotten Fortune. And it'll be starring Lou Ferrigno, the original Incredible Hulk, and Jimmy J.J. Walker from the original Good Times series. And it's about the idea of Alzheimer's, much under the context of, a drama, real life deal.
You're also welcome to share with audiences how they could contact you.
Yeah, thank you for that. Really appreciate it. Probably the best way, I would say, is go to our global website, which right now is Sherwood.tv, and they can reach out to us anytime on there. There's a contact form. There's a way that they can set up viewing a free webinar we do once a month that leads to a way they can schedule appointments. They can ask us questions before even scheduling appointments. And there's a free ebook there that people can download called Hope, Health, and Freedom. And so it's about 20 pages worth having. And there's a lot of blogs on there and free stuff as well.
Dr. Mark, thank you for joining us on Sasha Talks and sharing your wisdom and your professional expertise.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.